Robert's Roberts over here.
No, I'm not even over there. So you guys might be in there.
Proverbs chapter number 29. Well, God did tell me, you did tell me to preach, and I had the opportunity, so I'm going to preach.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Proverbs chapter 29. We're only going to read one verse. We'll be all through the Bible today in different parts, but we're going to read our main text verse for today in chapter 29, verse number 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And really quick, I'd like us all to read that just one time together. We're going to start. Where there is no vision,
the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
All right, let's open up with a word of prayer. We'll get right into the message. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to preach, Lord. And thank you for the message that Brother Samson brought, Father. I ask that these messages would not fall on deaf ears, Lord, but rather that they would get applied to our lives, Father. Thank you for everything that you've done. I ask that you would just bless today, Father, as this is the message you've given. I know there's someone here that needs it, Father, and I ask that it would be a help and a blessing, Father. Thank you for everything you've done. Just let me be a conduit. Get me out of the way, Father, so that your word can be magnified, Father. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so when I was studying and trying to come up with something, and I know trying to correlate something with pastor and appreciating pastor, it's not too much of a correlation. I'm sorry, but this is what the Lord brought today.
Amen.
Now, I looked up and I was like, okay, well, what do the people need? What is something, Lord, that you want the people to have? And the Lord brought this verse across my mind, and I went back and I was reading it, and you've probably heard many messages over it. A lot of people, they preach message after message about it, but this is the one that God had. So if it's something old, just take it. You can use it later. If you've never heard it, you can use it now. So that's how I like it. So
we'll Amen.
But I titled it The Church's Vision. The Church's Vision. As this verse back here in Proverbs, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Vision, I tried looking it up just to kind of get a better definition of what the Bible's trying to tell us here. And that word vision, when it's translated, and the meaning that they have, as they put it with, is dream, a revelation. You could also think an interpretation. And so I was like, okay, so I, you know, pretty much switched a little bit around. Where there's no dream, where there's no goal, where there's no something to look forward to, the people perish.
Yeah.
Where there's not a goal in mind, the people perish.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think as a church whole, as now, pastor's been here 10 years, but the church is going to keep on going.
Yes.
And we want pastor to stay for another 20 plus years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't, we want the church to keep going.
Yes.
Yeah.
The church should not stop with the pastor.
Right.
The church should not stop because the man that was leading them decided, okay, well, I'm done with this. Because there are pastors out there, especially just like Brother Samson was saying, there are pastors that quit, that give up. We had Brother Poole talking about, I think it was Brother Poole, if I'm wrong. Okay, it was Brother Poole. Through every 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a pastor quit. That's about the time span of a pastor to stay at a church.
That's right.
But the church should keep going.
Right.
Amen.
If the pastor fails, remember the pastor is just a man. Everybody puts pastors up on a pedestal and try to say, oh, look, you must attain to him. But then when that pastor falls, you fall with him. You don't look to the man, just like Brother Samson was saying, is he's a follower. He's not a leader. He's a follower. He follows the Lord.
Amen.
And if we follow our pastor, we will follow the Lord.
Amen.
Come on.
It's the same way where, okay, with me and my family, okay, in our house, I not all the time, but sometimes. You know what I say here. But when I say we're going to go to church today, then what my wife says is, okay, we're going to go to church. And that gets passed down to my children.
Yes, sir.
That is a chain. Yes. And that is the same chain we are to follow, is we follow the pastor because the pastor's following God.
Yes,
yeah.
We don't follow the pastor because the pastor has all the answers, because he doesn't. But God has all the answers. Yeah. And that's who we're following. When we follow the pastor that's following God. Okay? So where there is no vision, the people perish. So I'd like to take a minute, and I'm just going to... I took some notes, so I can read my chicken scratch, so it's okay, I didn't get it printed, but I can read it. Amen. But I kind of took a look at some people that had a vision, okay, and I'd like to explain a couple. There was a quote from a very well-known missionary, his name is William Carey. He used to say, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. He said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. If you don't expect that God's going to do something great, you're never going to see it happen. And if you don't go out and put the actions into seeing that great work happen, it's never going to happen. William Carey was one of the first missionaries to get into India. India was closed off, and they said no missionaries, no one was allowed to come, no one was allowed to preach the gospel, no one was allowed to set up churches. They would get banned by the government, they'd get shut down. And so they tried closing their country out and keeping missionaries out. William Carey said, I want to reach those people. I'm going to reach those people. I'm going to give you some facts about William Carey. At the before the age of 14, William Carey taught himself the Italian language. He learned a second language before the age of 14. When he was 14, he started, he was an apprentice to a cobbler, which is a shoemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And the shoemaker's name was Mr. Old. I don't know why I wrote that fact down. I just thought it was funny because it's an apprentice and his name was Mr. Old. O-O-L-D.
Okay.
But I learned. I was like, okay, I'm going to tell. At the age of 14, he started to learn the Greek language. So not only did he know Italian, but now he was learning Greek. Okay. At the age of 22, when he became 22 years old, he married Mr. Old's sister-in-law. Our daughter-in-law, I forget how that happened. But then he spoke, at the age of 22, he spoke the French language completely. He spoke Italian, which is what he learned earlier. He spoke Greek, Hebrew, and Dutch. He learned all of these languages. But he had one purpose in mind. He wanted to reach the people in India. Okay? Not only did he want to reach the people in India and see them saved, see them be able to be baptized, be learning and growing in the Word, but also, at the end, when it comes down to his life, because he had a vision that he wanted to reach these people, he not only got to reach those people, but he also was able to get Bibles printed in 45 different languages.
Wow.
He was able to be, whether they were whole Bibles or half Bibles, they're kind of mixed. So half being the New Testament, whole being both Old and New. But he was able to get them printed in 45 different languages.
Wow.
Because he had a vision.
There you go.
He wanted to see people saved. He wanted to see them baptized. He wanted to see them go learn about the Word. And he wanted to be able to do that. And he, even though the country, India, told him, no, you can't come over here. No, we don't want it. He found a way to get in. And he found a way to start doing that. Because he had a vision. Okay? I'm going to bring up another person I want you guys to know about. His name was Adoniram Judson. He had a nickname that was given to him, Father of American Missions. Father of American Missions. Because what Adoniram Judson did is he reached, there was one place that was not able to be reached. It was the Burmese people. I'm going to give you some background and then I'll get back into what he actually did. But his main life goal that he wanted to do is he wanted to get the Bible translated into the Burmese language. Because there was no one over there. There was no one reaching them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that was what his vision was. He said, I want them to have a Bible where they can read the Word of God and they can see what God wants them to do for their life. They can learn about Jesus and what he did on the cross. He wanted that to happen. So he was born in Massachusetts. He went to Brown's College. And when he went to college, he grew up in a very, very good home, going to church. He was learning the Bible. And he went to college and he said, okay, well, I'm still going to learn the Bible. And I know Jesus is real. I know that what I've been taught in church is real and God loves us. Okay. So he went to college. And while he was in college, he got a friend. And this friend was named Jacob Eames. Jacob Eames was his name. He was a deist and a skeptic, okay? And while in college, what he would do is he would talk with Adoniram Judson, and they would talk, and when they talked, he would say, oh, God really doesn't love you. God really doesn't care about you. Oh, you know, when we die, there's not going to be any pain in death. Once death comes, death is death, and we're done. Okay, so he was going to college, and after a while, he finally, hanging out with Jacob Eames so much, he started thinking just like him. Just like the Bible talks about who your friends are, you know, you'll become. Mm-hmm. And so that's what ended up happening, and he was spending a lot of time with him. They were really good buddies, and he started believing it. He said, you know, there's no such thing as heaven, there's no such thing as hell. When we die, we're done, and that's it. And that'll be the only thing. Adoniram Judson was headed home, and he had to stop and get a hotel. He got a hotel for a night as he was headed home, and he was gonna let his parents know, hey, I'm done with the faith, it's no more. And he got a hotel room, and when he went to the counter to ask for a room, they said they only had one room. And he said, okay, well, I'll take the room. I just need a room for the night. And the innkeeper told him, well, there's a man next door, and he's going through some pain, and it seems like he's dying, and so he kind of screams at night, and different things happen. And he's like, okay, well, I just need it for the night. I'll take it. So he goes, and he's sleeping, or trying to get some sleep, and all of a sudden he hears this, and all these noises. I don't know exactly the noises, but there was just moaning and groaning, and you could tell that the person in the next room was in pain, was in dire pain. And he couldn't go to sleep. He stayed up through the night, kept waking up when he was trying to sleep. He couldn't sleep. And in the morning, or it gets close to the morning, and you know, the noises die down. There's no more noise, no more groaning, no more pain. Okay, so maybe that guy got some sleep. Okay, I'll get an hour or two of rest. Okay, so he goes to sleep. He wakes up and he gets his stuff ready. You know, he's going to check out. And he talks with the innkeeper and says to the innkeeper, so did that man leave? He stopped. And when he talked with the innkeeper told him the ambulance came. That man passed away in the middle of the night. So when he finally stopped moaning and groaning, that man passed away. He said, yeah, it's sad because that was a college student, very, very intellectual, very smart. And his name was Jacob Eames.
Wow.
The same guy that told him there's no pain when it comes to death. There's no hurting. It's just you die and you're done.
Come on, preacher.
And that night, once he got the name and he learned that it was Jacob Eames, at that point, God got a hold of his heart. He turned around.
Come on.
And that's when he went across seas and he went to Bernice. It took him, in order for him to see one person saved when he went over there, he had to learn the language. The language took him a while to learn. He had to first live in India before he got the permit to get into Burmese. Took him 7 years to see one person saved.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all worth it for that one person.
That's right. Come on.
That one person. And he's mentioned, like I said at first, Father of American Missions, because he was one of the ones to start and to get out and to reach them. And as I was looking at these two and I saw that they had a great vision, I was like, okay, well, what is the church's vision? What is the church's vision? What should our vision be? If, God forbid, we don't want it to happen, but if Pastor Ray left, we don't want that because we love him. But if he did, what is the church's vision? What is our vision? What is going to keep us
Come on, right? preacher.
What is going to keep us going forward for the cause of Christ?
Come on.
So I took a look and I was like, okay, well, let's find out. And so today, you got your Bibles, we're gonna play around, and we're going to go through the scriptures, but the first thing that we have to do is we have to find the vision. We have to find the vision. So let's go see in scripture. We're going to go over to Matthew chapter 28. I don't have any of these marked, so if you're a little faster than me, just wait for me to catch up. Matthew chapter 28. And I want you to look in verse 19. It may be a very familiar verse to you, but I want you to look nonetheless. Chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Flip over to Acts 1:8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says here in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and," this is the key, "ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." But we're not done yet.
Nope, come on.
We're going to go over to Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost."
Right.
So I'm reading through these verses and I'm trying to see, what is the vision? What is the vision for the church? What should the church's vision be? The church's vision should be to see people saved.
Yeah.
Not only see people saved, see people baptized. Amen. Not only see them baptized, but see them come to church. Not only
come
see
on.
Them come to church, but also see them live for the Lord.
Come on,
because
preacher.
The little kid that is, I don't know what his name was.
Thomas
right here. Wednesday night, he came up to me and he said, "I want to be a pastor."
All right.
He said, "I want to be a pastor." But you know what? You don't get someone like that unless you go out and find people first.
That's right.
These verses, the first thing is you go out. You go knock some new doors. You go and talk to some new people. You find some new people that don't know the Lord. And you give them the gospel. Regardless if they get saved that day or if they get saved later on.
Preacher.
They may either come, they may not. But you go out and you be faithful because God said to. God
Amen.
Commanded it. It was not this is a suggestion. No. Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He knew exactly his purpose.
Yes.
Jesus knew his purpose when he came down, and his purpose was to see people saved. His purpose was to give the gospel.
Amen.
His purpose was to be the lamb that would be slain for the world.
Yeah.
That was his purpose.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, that was his vision. That's what our vision needs to be. Our vision needs to be pointing people back to the Savior,
back
to what He already did, because the payment's already been paid. You don't have to pay it. You don't have to do anything to get salvation.
Right.
You receive it. It's a free gift. But
yes.
Only if you receive it.
Amen.
So the first thing I see here is we need to find the vision. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. This was another verse I came across. 2:41. Peter is just getting done. He preached Pentecost. And when we get here in verse 41, this is after he preaches. The Bible says what happened. "Then they that gladly received his word." Okay, so they received his word. They took it in. Here, he said, Jesus is the only way. You don't have Jesus, you don't got nothing.
Amen.
You don't got heaven, you don't got anything.
That's right.
So he said, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." Not only did they get saved. Yes, we want people to get saved. But you also should do what happens here is they were baptized. The next thing after salvation is following the Lord in obedience. Showing him, hey, you said to get baptized, I'll do it. Even though it's weird, even though it may not sound normal, it may be easier just to go out in the neighborhood and take someone about with a microphone and say, hey, he got saved. That would probably be easier. But you know, Jesus said, this is the way. This is the example. He was an example. He let John the Baptist baptize him so that everybody could see the example that this is what we're supposed to follow.
Right.
So then they gladly received his word, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. About 3,000 people got saved. Regardless if they all got baptized or if only some of them, we don't know. The Bible isn't clear about it. But we do know they were saved and they were baptized and they joined the church. They were saved, baptized, and joined the church. That is the Great Commission in a nutshell. Saved, baptized, join the church, and then you teach. You teach them as they come in. Let them learn. First thing is we need to find the vision. And the vision should be seeing people saved, baptized, and teaching them the Word of God. Yes. That should be our vision. So if Pastor Ray were to go off the scene, if Pastor Ray were to mess up, we don't want him to. But if that were to happen, the church should have a vision to still see people saved, still see people baptized, use the baptism, because there's a lot of churches that are dying off, and they're just one by one just going out because they lost their vision.
Uh-huh.
Because they're not looking to see souls saved no more. They're not looking to use the baptism. They're not looking to teach their people.
Come on, preacher.
They're just letting them drop off.
That's right.
Number one, find the vision. I remember when I first started first started going to church and actually giving my life over to the Lord, and I said, okay, I'm going to do whatever you want. And I remember the pastor of the church, he said, well, you want to start learning, let's go soul winning. Okay, so I was like, okay, I'll go soul winning. What is that? Because I didn't know what that was. I was like, soul winning? Well, soul, that's like a video game. You know, you see something go on in a video game. So that was the best understanding I could have. But he said, meet me here. I used to bike around in, it was a metropolitan area, similar to Chicago area, not as big, but I used to bike around everywhere. And I would take my bike and I'd put it on a bus. Now on the buses, in the front, you have to pull this, it's a bike rack. They've got one on the back and the front. You'd have to reach in, pull it down, then you grab your bike, you muscle it up there. You can't get it up all the way. You do one tire at a time. I saw people do that before. But you get your bike up there, you lock it on, and then it would take you where you need to go. Well, he told me to meet him somewhere, and the bus was running late. So I got my bike on there and got to almost where it was, and he said, okay, well, we're actually at this apartment complex, so meet me over there. I was like, oh, man. So I get off the bus, and I get my bike, and I'm huffing and I'm puffing, and I got my helmet on, and I'm riding up there. I'm like, okay, I get to the apartment complex, and I'm trying to find him. I'm like, okay, where is he? I'm going to meet up. We're gonna learn how to do this, how to tell people about Jesus. Well, I end up finally getting there, and I'm looking, and I don't see him, so I ride around the complex a little bit, you know, looking, where's his vehicle at? I know he's supposed to be here somewhere. I finally see him. He's down in the middle, because you could ride through, and there were more doors for the apartments. And I rode into the middle. I saw him gathered with a group of kids. I was like, okay, well, I'm here. Okay, we'll figure out what's going on. And he's talking with the kids, and I just get my helmet off, and he comes, flags me down, and says, come on over here. And I'm like, I'm still on my bike. Okay, so I come over with my bike, my helmet's off, I'm holding on to him, and he's like, all right, kids. So, Brother Tim's going to show you how you can go to heaven. And he took my bike and helmet and walked away. And left me with all the kids. And I said, I don't know what I'm doing yet. What are you doing? Just read the back of the card. Go for it. And he walks away and takes it. And I kid you not, I was left there with all those kids. I was like, wait, what? But I was able to go through. And that day, if not all of them, I think all but two of them, prayed out loud and trusted Christ.
Amen.
I followed a card because I didn't know what to do. You know, I got thrown into it. But I was able to learn. And from that day forward, I wanted to see people saved. I wanted to be able to do it myself. So I kept going out. And I'd go out on Mondays. I'd go out on Tuesdays. I'd go out on Saturday when everybody would go out. We, at our church, we started our teens. We started a Wednesday before church, we would start going out because we just wanted to go out and tell people about Jesus, because that's the vision. And that's the vision that God gives the church, is get out there, tell them about me, bring them in, get them baptized, and teach them. And that's what God wants to see. But we have to keep that vision. Number one, I said find the vision. But number two, you have to fight for that vision.
Yes.
Okay, in Nehemiah chapter 4, there. Oh, hey, I have a bookmark there. I wonder. Okay, Nehemiah chapter 4, I'm going to read two verses to you. Verse number 18 we're going to start with, and then we're going to go to verse 21. 18 says, for the builders, okay, I'll give you, just really quick, Nehemiah, he got the right from the king to go back and start rebuilding the wall. Okay, so Nehemiah got papers, got everything in order. He said, this is what I need so I can go and build it. Let me go back. My heart is hurting. He was the king's cupbearer at the time. And so he was not supposed to have a sad countenance. He was supposed to be happy while he was in the presence of the king. Because the presence of the king can say, hey, you're looking unhappy and you're not making my day happy. So I'm going to cut you. But God gave him grace, and he talked with the king, and the king said, take these papers, go and do what you need. Tell me how long you need, I'll give it to you. You go, you take leave, and go get done what is burdening your heart. Okay? That's the synapse. If you want to get the rest of the story, just start Nehemiah chapter 1. But chapter 4, verse number 18, they've got all their stuff, they're there, and they're starting to build. Now I want you to see, because they were doing what God said. They had a vision. Their vision was to get this wall done. That was Nehemiah's vision. He gave it to everybody else. He said, we need to get this wall rebuilt for the Lord. Okay? So, verse number 18, it says, for the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so built it. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Verse 21, so we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. But back up in verse 18, I want you to see, for the builders, so the people that were constructing the wall, they were currently building the wall.
Yep.
They were currently taking, I don't even have hammer, but they're taking their hammer and they were building, okay? And while they were building, Nehemiah told them, not only do I want you building, but there's going to be some opposition.
Yeah.
There's going to be some people that are fighting against you. So I want you to have your sword on you.
Come on.
I want you to be ready. And what really brought it out was the sword girded by his side, and so build it. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. So they're building, but they're also prepared. They're building.
That's right.
And the next verse that we read talks about they had spearmen that when you read through that story, it says that they would hold those spears all day long.
Yep.
Okay. So that means if you've ever tried to hold something out, it starts to get heavy. It doesn't matter if you have the muscles to be able to hold it. It gets heavy after a while, regardless. And so, but they would hold it all day because there was opposition. There were people that wanted to hinder the work of the Lord. And so what he said is, builders, I want you to be ready, because at the moment's notice, you got to be able to drop what you're doing and fight against the opposition.
That's right.
And what we need to do as a church is we need to fight for the vision. We need to keep it alive. We need to keep it in front of us. Don't let anything stop you from going out and telling people about Jesus.
Amen.
Maybe you're not able to go when the church goes, but get a friend. Get someone in the church and say, hey, I want to go out and I want to pass some tracts out. I want to go out and I want to invite some people to church. But I want to go with the intention that I'm going to speak to somebody new and I'm going to be able to give them the gospel regardless if they accept it or reject it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to fight for the vision. My sister, she's my older sister. She's like 29. We'll say 29 because that's always a good age. But my sister, I remember, I was going out, and I would go out Monday, I'd go out Tuesday, I'd go out on Saturday and Wednesday. And she wanted to go out, and so her and another lady from the church, she set up a time. They set it up about 2 or 3 weeks in advance. And, you know, they were getting their courage up, they were going to go out, they were all happy, they were excited. But you know, the devil always tries something.
Oh, yes.
Whether it's, oh, well, you don't feel good that day. Oh, well, you know, you could be doing this instead of going somewhere. Oh, you could be out getting yard work done that you haven't been doing that you've had all week.
Come on.
But you just decided not to do it during the week. And only on the day that you're going to go soul winning and actually tell people about Jesus, that lawn has to be cut.
Oh, yes.
Because it cannot wait.
You got that right.
But my sister, she wanted to go out. She was all ready. They set it up. And the day comes. And her friend, they had vehicle problems. And her friend couldn't drive out to take her to go out, you know, so they could go out together. So I remember I got home and it was a Thursday afternoon. And I got home from school and, you know, once I got home, I didn't want to do nothing. I was doing stuff Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I was doing stuff all the week. I didn't want to do anything on Thursday. But she said she didn't have anyone to go out with. And so I was like, oh, Lord, I don't want to. But, but the Lord said, she wants to go out. She hasn't wanted to go out before. This is an opportunity where she wants to go out.
Yeah.
And no one else is here to take her out. But there's someone in the house that has gone soul winning, that has done it multiple times, that could take her out.
Come on, preacher.
So what did I do? I was like, okay. I did the good old phrase, suck it up, buttercup.
Yep.
You get up and you go out. You know, because when we get to heaven, God's not going to say, oh, how did you feel that day?
No.
Oh, did you feel like going out and telling others about me? Did you feel like giving the gospel? He's not going to say that to us. He's going to say, what did you do for me?
Yep.
Did you go out? Oh, this day you cut the grass instead of coming in.
Come on.
That could be the day that you would have seen someone say it.
Come on.
But instead, maybe that person passed off into eternity.
Come on, preacher.
That could have been your one moment to see that one person.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to go out every day, even though that's what, you know, God would say. Hey, if you have the opportunity to go out every day, then do it. But I'm not saying you have to go out every day. But if there's a moment that you have planned and you have set up, whether it be like a Saturday, a Monday, which we have Saturday and Monday, just saying. But maybe it's a Tuesday. Maybe mm-hmm. it's some day that you chose that you're going to go out and you're going to give the gospel. You're not just going to pass out a tract. You're going to actually tell them, hey, do you know for sure that if you died that you go to heaven? And ask them. Because a lot of times, people's response, a lot of times we're scared to ask, yet they're not going to bite us. They're not going to. And this is one thing I've learned. You always have a mean person. But if you get to that one mean person at the beginning, you know, when you first go out at your first door, then all the other doors are easy. Because you've already been yelled at. So what's the worst that can happen?
There you go.
I've been yelled at. Okay. Yell at me again. That's it. Because once you get through that, then you can talk to everybody else. And you'll find the person that actually wants to hear. Because there's someone out there that wants to hear. And if you pray about it, and you ask the Holy Spirit to lead you as you go to the doors and to speak through you, you will see someone saved, whether it's good or not. Or you will see someone come to church. But if you never go out, you'll never see someone.
Amen.
You got to fight for the vision. So that so my sister, I went out with her. And you know, we went out, and we got to knock a few doors, and we were able to give the gospel to somebody. I don't remember if they got saved. I'd have to ask my sister, because she'll probably remember. But we were able to go out, and she was able to go out soul winning. And she did what the Lord commanded us to do.
Amen.
Go out, seeking to save that which was lost. Exactly what Jesus' plan for coming to earth was.
Yep.
You got to fight for the vision. Because if you don't fight, the devil will fight against you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he'll always give you something to say, oh, well, you shouldn't go out because of X, Y, Z. You name it.
Uh-huh.
And it'll always come up. So you got to fight for the vision. There's days that I don't want to. And I really don't want to. I mean, my wife hates that. I'm like, oh, do I really have to? And then, of course, the Holy Spirit comes up and says, slap you across the head. Of course you got to go out. There's people that are dying and going to hell. And if you don't do nothing about it, then everybody else will. Because if we don't reach them, the world will. It would be better for us to reach them early on than for the world to have their snares on. You got to fight for the vision. You got to fight for it. And lastly, so we find the vision, we fight for the vision. The final one I have here is we fulfill the vision. We fulfill.
Come on.
The only way that you will see it fulfilled is if you go out.
Yes.
You have to do it.
That's right.
Because there are people that only you will be able to reach. I won't be able to reach them.
Nope.
Brother Ray won't be able to reach them.
Nope.
Brother Frank won't be able to reach them. It'll be you.
Yeah.
And if you don't go out, that person that the Lord had that would get in your path and be the one that He wants you to talk to that day, but you say, oh, I don't feel like it, that could be their eternity in the balance.
Yep.
And, you know, we talk about that, and it's kind of like, oh, well, we'll talk about it, skim over it, and keep going. But, you know, sit there and think a little bit. Think about what eternity means.
And come on.
Know that they're going to heaven. That should hurt us.
That's something.
As much as if they were going to pass away the next moment.
Mm. Come on.
Matthew 22, verse 9 and 10. Matthew 22, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, this is Jesus, who's giving a parable. Parable, which is just a... it's got a heavenly meaning wrapped up in an earthly. I don't even know the word for that. But,
story.
22, verse 9 and 10. 22, 9 and 10. The Bible says, go ye therefore. He's talking about there's a big old wedding going to happen. The king's going to be there. And we want people from everywhere. We want them coming in. We want them to be a part. And so he says, I'll just run back up to verse 7 really quick. But when the king heard thereof, because they didn't want to go out and just reach people. They wanted certain people. They wanted to be picky and choosy. We want the rich people because they'll be better over here. We don't want the beggars. We don't want people that are low on the totem pole. Seven, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, destroyed those, murdered, burned up their cities. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So he says, go out, and all the people that you see, invite them, bring them to the wedding. Verse 10, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both, what are the next three words?
Bad and good.
Both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. You got to fulfill the vision by going out. And you get the bad and the good. You reach the person. When you go out and you say, okay, I'm going to go out, and you start knocking a street, or you're going out and you don't know exactly where to go, you turn your car off, you park somewhere, and you're like, okay, I'm going to start knocking all these houses. I'm going to try and reach some new people. And if there's someone that passes by that's walking, and even though they may look like, oh, they got all the tattoos, they don't want to listen, they've got their own lifestyle, that's God saying, go up and talk to them.
Come on.
That's the only way. That's how the Holy Spirit's going to get a hold of us, because there's not always an audible voice. You know, a lot of times it's just little nudges.
Yep, that's right.
Do this. Hey, do that. Hey, you're not supposed to do that. When there's people that are walking on the street, when you decide that you're going to go out and you're going to tell people about Jesus, those are the people that God wants you to tell. Is those people walking down the street, those people that are outside their house, those are the ones that are out in the open, because you've got a door that you have to knock, or you've got someone in the yard. You go with someone in the yard. You reach that person that's in the yard, because that's probably the person that God set up for you. That's the person you're going to actually face-to-face talk with. Then go and knock the door and keep on going. But first, get the people that are right out there in the open,
yeah,
and talk to them. Tell them about Savior. Tell
Come
them
on,
about
preacher.
Tell them how He changed your life. A lot of times, you know, if you don't know how to start or anything, start by telling them your testimony. Tell them,
amen,
what happened to you.
Yeah.
What Jesus did for you. He saved your soul when you were a little kid. He saved your soul when you were older. He changed you from the wicked ways that you were going, and He turned your life around.
Come on.
You know, a lot of times when you tell them something like that, you make it personal, they'll open up to you and they'll want to hear.
Yeah.
Then you just tell them, well, this is what happened, and I went through this, and I found the Bible, or I found a tract, and you have open opportunity. Because, you know, the same way as God wants us to have a personal relationship with Him, we can be personable with other people. We can tell them, hey, this is what happened to me. You want to accept Christ as your Savior? This is what happened to me, and I've never wanted to change since. And as simple as that, the Holy Spirit is the one that actually does the work. We do all the talking. And you know, a lot of times we think that it's all about what we say. It's all about, well, how good am I at expounding the word so that they'll understand? No. You go out as God said to. And yes, you want to be able to tell them, hey, in the Bible it says this. But you know, that's what these are for. These are called tracts. And on the back, they've got verses. And you know, just like when I started, I got thrown into the mix of a bunch of kids. And you got to try and explain, okay, well, how's this work? Well, this is a big old long verse, but I hope you listen. It's not me. It's not based on what I'm doing. It's based on the Holy Spirit working through me and speaking to their heart, and their heart saying, I want to trust Christ as my Savior, and I want to go to heaven for all eternity.
Yeah.
But this is the whole thing. You fulfill the vision by going. I'm going to give you one more story/illustration, and then I'll be done. But I'd just like to say again, it's one, number one, we find the vision. After we find the vision, we fight for the vision. And then we fulfill the vision. I remember when I was going to church was back in Washington State. I was going to church. And I remember there was another boy. He was a couple years younger than me. But we would go out and we would tell people about Jesus. Okay? And I remember we wanted to start doing it on Wednesday night because we'd always meet up early at the church. So we had plenty of time. We wanted to go around the church and start reaching people. Mm-hmm. So we started doing that. Well, one time, I don't advise this, but one time we decided we have to go out soul winning. And we didn't really want to. You know, we were kind of being our heathen selves, we'll say. And we decided, you know, we don't really want to, but we want some coffee, okay? Because we like coffee, so all the preachers that don't like coffee, you don't have to listen. But anyways, we wanted to go and get some coffee. So we went over to, it's a little coffee shop around the corner from where the church was. And it was about 5 or 6 blocks away. So we walked over there. And the whole time while we're walking over there, we're talking about soul winning. We're talking about, hey, we need to go tell people about Jesus. We need to go pass out these tracts. We need to go talk with them because that's why we're here early on Wednesday and we have the opportunity, so we need to do it. And, you know, we talked about it a lot. That 5 to 6 block, man, we talked. We kept saying, yeah, we should go. But we want coffee. So we went and we got our coffees. We get our coffees, and this is about the time where it starts getting dark earlier. Okay, and we're starting to walk back. And, you know, we got our coffees, we're happy. But we know, and the Holy Spirit's beating us over the head saying, well, you didn't even tell anybody about me. You just went and got your stupid coffees that are going to be gone in a couple drinks.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, well, we need to go, you know, we need to go and tell some people. So we looked ahead. There were 2 people walking that just got coffees from the same place we got coffees. Because they were in line before us, and we saw them. And we're like, okay. So, not thinking. My friend is about 6 foot tall, okay? He's a little bigger. And, you know, I'm about the same height because I'm vertically challenged. But, so, we ended up going, and we saw them. I'm like, okay, let's go tell them. So we start running. Okay, disclaimer. The ones in front of us, they were 2 girls. Okay? And it's getting dark. I'm big old six foot guy running. And then me little shrimp by him running. I don't think it looked good at night. But we start running and we're like, why are they running away from us? We're just going to tell them about Jesus. But we keep running. And then finally, you know, it finally clicks on me. He's still running. I'm like, wait, stop. Look. And what we saw were their coffee cups dumped out, just like poof. And so I was like, I think they took off running from us, and we should probably stop because you're pretty tall, and you're a guy, and I'm a guy, and we're chasing after 2 girls. Oh, this does not look good, and it's dark.
No.
So I was like, we tried, but I don't think so. So we went and knocked 1 door, and then went to church, and we said, next week we'll try again. But the thing is, we still went out. Even though we didn't want to, even though we had that, we don't want to go out today. Once the Holy Spirit got a hold, and we surrendered, we said, yes, we'll go. We'll go tell you. And when we did that, even though we did it wrongly, you know, we shouldn't have done it that way. Use wisdom. But the main thing is, you got to go. You got to go find some new people. You got to tell them about the Lord. Bring them in, get them saved, and we can get them baptized. But that's what the church's vision should be, is going out, reaching people, seeing them baptized, and then growing. All right. Brother Bewley, I can have you come up here and play a song of invitation for us. I'm just going to have a short invitation tonight, or today. It's not my thing, but you know what I mean. I'm going to have a short invitation here just to give you some time to do business with God. Because whenever you come to the house of the Lord, you should never leave without doing business with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the message is just a reminder for you. Sometimes it's something that you actually needed desperately. But regardless, if you come to the house of the Lord on a regular basis, you should spend time with the Lord. Alright. Everybody stand. Bow our heads. Give an opportunity. Time for you to do business with the Lord.